fishing all the time. Keep it going.
Oh, we can only wish we're going fishing all the time, but I do have Mr. Fish here with me, Mr. Ichthyodork himself, Leif Seberg.
Hey, baby. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I bet you I'm not fishing anything like you are, though.
Oh,
you,
man.
I'm sure everybody tells you this. You got a perfect life. Not only is your work fish-oriented, but then you've got a guide service. And
pretty happy.
And you know a lot.
Pretty blessed.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
So, so much is going on. I mean, we're right in the middle of the just beautiful weather.
The 12-sided dice season.
Yeah. The 12th. And
what are you going to do?
I know. Just stay awake, stay healthy.
I usually end up taking a nap about 3 or 4 in the afternoon so that I can carry on with my evening because a lot of time I'm up at like 4 in the morning.
And I got to say, you're looking kind of buff. What have you been doing?
A lot of rowing.
A lot of rowing. Okay.
I wish I felt as good as I might be sort of looking. I don't want to say that, but I'm a little sore, but I've been having fun, and I haven't been fishing as much as I've been helping people fish, but I have gotten
cool.
a little bit of a chance to fish myself.
All right, well, tell me all about it.
Well, you know, it was funny. The one time I had a chance to fish lately, I guess I had already tested this bug, but I had finally got a couple more tied up, and it's my new favorite bug. It's from North 40, a little promo there right ahead, but God, I was just taken by the name, and it just cracked me up. So I looked at the bug, and then I thought the bug was cool, called the Hippie Stomper. And it's kind of named after this guy that I guess evidently was like the foremost guide in a certain section of the Gunnison, I think it was. And he was a hippie that really stomped. And it was using patterns like this attractor foam pattern that I tied up. And I used it with some clients one day, and I wished I had tied more than just my one betta bug. I only had that much time in the morning, so I tied up another handful after it crushed for them. And sure enough, gosh, I walked into one of my favorite runs, and I'll be damned if it wasn't first cast on the Hippie Stomper. Boom, got stomped. And it's kind of like a little different than my usual bugs because I like the ones that skate, and this one kind of plops rather than landing softly, and it kind of pops a little bit and chugs a little bit and sits a little bit lower in the water than my usual choice of bugs. But boy, it's been just getting stomped on.
What do you think it's mimicking? What?
You know, it's very beetle-shaped, and it's just in the family of attractors. It's just super attractive.
So maybe that plop kind of works.
Yeah, it's like a cheeseburger sandwich kind of floating down the road. And the one I saw, and I would recommend picking up from them at North 40, is a purple-bellied one. Mm-hmm. And I also saw they have like a green with a like an old Royal Coachman belly to it, you know, the peacock, red peacock. But I didn't have that color, so I just tied up what's based on basically the Western Pink Lady format, another really successful attractor hopper for me, which is pink on the bottom, brown in the middle, and a little bit of deer hair on top for like wings, and then and you just put a chunk of yellow foam on top of that as an indication to you that that's the right side up, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, that pink color scheme worked great on the Hippie Stomper for them, boy, and it's been working great.
It's kind of fun.
A new favorite fly.
I got to say, kind of fun finding a new fly pattern.
Yeah, totally. So, I've been just kind of really having a lot of fun on the river, meeting new clients, fishing with clients that I've been taking out for almost 10 years now that reminded me that you and I have been doing this for, it's, you know, 7, 8 years.
That's amazing.
Now.
Seems like yesterday.
Time flies. Yeah. You don't look a day older to me. I don't know if we can we can see ourselves aging. Maybe we don't need to look back at pictures right now.
No, we don't see ourselves aging. I can guarantee you.
But I had a great trip last night up with a gentleman on the Chewook. We did an evening hatch session up there, a great little half-day session. Hippie Stomper there again was performing strong, as well as the usual stimulator up there on the Chewook. Okay. The size 14 yellow or green stimulator is king for sure. But everywhere, you know, coming up right now, starting this next few weeks, and as you're listening to this report, it's hopper season.
I was going to say, it's got to be.
Yeah, full on. And they're going to start just smashing that foam. I've already had a few fish really do it. Holy cow, we've seen some big fish just blowing up on it. Yeah, just having a lot of fun. The rivers are the perfect temperature right now, the perfect flow. As far as wading, you can easily wade the Twisp and Chewook and really, you know, pretty worry-free. Still use some caution on the Medhow because it hasn't hit that 1100, you know, 900 for maybe the folks that aren't quite as sturdy at walking. Down there at 900 CFS at Pateras might be your number. 1100 is a basic median, you know, kind of for those average waders.
That's a good point about the Medhow still being a teens high. I heard a story just yesterday about a gal who was tubing, got a tube from one of the motels, and they didn't line her out. She lost her tube.
Holy cow.
She doesn't know the area.
Oh,
somebody came by her. She was just weeping by the side on the shore.
Sitting on the riverside.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I can only imagine.
And I just thought, you know, we're still maybe and apparently are still in that, at least on the Methow itself.
No, it's not worry-free. You know, I would definitely, any kids should be wearing some PFDs and even adults.
Oh,
too,
her PFD didn't fit her.
Oh, nice.
That was the other thing. I mean, that could have been a real disaster.
Well, but, and you know, the scar on my face always reminds me to remind people that you're a great swimmer until you whack your face on a rock or your head and you're sleeping, because you don't really swim super good when you're sleeping.
So, yes.
Luckily, I had PFD on and a friend to pull me out of the river, but that kayaking experience kind of, you know, reality checked me.
Yeah, so. Even Leaf.
Absolutely.
Leaf.
That was after drift boating, captain my drift boat for years and being on this river for years.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's always, like I say, it's those quick little mistakes that came out of nowhere you didn't even see coming.
Keep that in mind for a little while longer here.
But yeah, got a chance to get up to Beaver Lake with my friend Sarah, and we took my buddy's grandson, who's just kind of not really had enough exposure to the outdoors, and really had a lot of fun with him and my young boy Finn. Finley was just freaking crawdad master. It took a little while for us to find the crawdads, and it was what happened was we were kind of at the main camp area of the lake, and I looked down lake at this awesome mayfly hatch that was happening. The fish were coming up 3 and 4 times in that same spot, just pow, 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 like they couldn't hit it the first time, or maybe there was a couple, or it was kind of doing the dance and they missed. But I was just like, oh, we've got to go down to that corner of the lake. And so we all rallied and went down there. And sure enough, I looked down, there was a pile of literally like 20 or 30 crawdads on some old bait there. Huh. And so I got Finn over there with the, you know, I always say it's like the three things, the spook and scoop, use the stick to scare him into the net, putting the net behind him, spooking in front of him.
Yeah.
That's usually my way. But it ended up being the bait on the string on the stick, or in this case, turkey liver tenkara, I was calling it. And then you should always be running your traps if you have them while you're doing one of those two-hand methods. But Finley was the master of the turkey tenkara. He got literally was able to lift 6 of these crawdads up and get his net underneath it before it broke water, and got them all in one scoop.
That's a great technique, and it reminds me of Encounters of the North episode we had the other day where he was talking about the herring rake.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch that one?
Yeah, I did, and I've also seen that on Discovery Channel or something where they put in the bows and they come out with just those clusters of herring eggs, and that really looks, that looks yummy to me, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, and it's one of those things that only happens up north.
Right.
And it's kind of an antiquated tool, but it's...
very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, super cool, the things that humans have done to adapt to their crazy living environments in some cases.
So how big of a crawdad haul did you get?
You know, this time wasn't much. It took us about half the time we were there to really kind of find where they were, because they weren't in the usual place kind of a little bit. But we got out about 50 or 60 real nice size crawdads, and we did a... Man, we just had a bountiful dinner down at Sarah's place. She always keeps a great garden and a lot of organic produce and everything. So we had this cool, garlic scapes fried with, kale and rutabaga and everything. Uh-huh. And then we did the crawdads in a traditional boil style, chopped up a bunch of corn and lemons, and some of my homemade habanero sauce was in there, and boiled them down in that.
That's sweet.
We brought down some of the trout, which are ranging, like I say, they've gotten a lot. It's worth fishing up there, not just for crawdads now. They're ranging from about 14 to 16, and I even saw some 19-inch fish up there.
Whoa.
So we brought home 7 between all of us, and that fed a group of almost 10 of us there at dinner.
Sweet.
So it was just a great spread. It always, you know, I don't do it all the time, but it just really feels good to get a little field meal, combine it with the great stuff you've grown at home, and invite friends over.
Yeah, I think it's a great experience for kids, too, to just...
Absolutely.
Take what you need that night.
Yep.
We're going to have dinner from Mother Nature.
And they get a kick out of it. And that little Beaver Lake, boy, that place has got some great places to camp. Every time I'm up there, I kick myself for not just camping. It's only like a mile and a half. So you can easily carry in what you need. It is a long drive back in there, maybe 15 miles off the top of the loop there. But just get your green trails map for that section and you'll easily find it. You know, I've just been seeing some great pictures, too, from my friends out at Libby Lake, Copper Glance, Upper Tiffany. All those are open. I saw a little bit of ice still floating freely in the pictures on Libby, but all of them look spot on, and I would definitely recommend checking them out. And that kind of lends to a segue, I guess, for the backcountry blog that I've got going.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, yeah. How are you feeling about being a writer, being a blogster?
I feel that I'm a fairly poor writer.
But you said that last time, your blog is catching on, man. It's got traction.
Well, if nothing else, I'm really just trying to give people, it's sort of like an addendum to the hiking guides you get around here, mm-hmm. that don't really have any information about fishing. I love reading hiking guides, but I always wish they'd mention fishing.
Sure.
And I also notice an inordinate amount of traffic up at Varden Lake
through my
webpage.
Okay, so you learned something
trying
there.
To give Varden Lake a little break here, just so you guys know. Definitely check it out, but know that maybe a lot of other people have gotten that idea.
Yeah.
And so this is sort of my answer to that. There is a link in the blog to my article that I wrote about Varden Lake that is proven to be so popular,
mm-hmm.
but also now just I tried to come up with at least three good ideas for each basin, the Twist River,
okay,
the Methow, and the Chewuk, and just throw them out there to you, as well as a few other small ideas that are sprinkled in there, as far as lakes, even a couple high mountain streams that are super cool. And I went ahead and threw in a couple golden trout waters. One of them might even be moving. You'll have to figure that out from yourself by reading between the lines.
So tell everybody where they can find these blogs.
Yeah, you can just find them at Fly Fisher's Pro Shop.
Right.
And I will be adding on another one here. I decided that I've got to add on one about the Sawtooth Range. So look for that coming up. And also, people may have already read the first 2/3 of this. It took me a little while to get the Chewuk part done. So know to maybe look again. And I've got a few ideas for you there on the Chewuk. But if anybody would like to book some trips down here in the lower land of the state's wonderful rivers and lakes, then you go ahead and give me a call. And if you need a fishing tip, same thing there too, at 509-429-7298. Check out that blog or podcast at flyfishersproshop.com. You can send me an email at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com. And this is that part where I'd always like to thank those great folks over at North 40 who have got that crazy bug of the week for $1.50 right now. I believe it's the Hippie Stomper, but you always better check it out because you can order it, get it to your door at north40flyshop.com. And you know what? It's time for y'all to take care of each other and get that fish right on, baby.